The Buddha's instructions on breath meditation start out with 4 steps. The first 2 are really simple. You simply discern when the breath is long, when it's short. In other words, you're practicing your skills as an observer, just trying to be with the present moment. So you can see what are the differences among the different ways you breathe. In addition to long and short, you can try fast, slow, heavy, light, deep, shallow. Just get the mind in the position of being an observer. When the Buddha taught breath meditation to Rahula, he prefaced his remarks by saying, try to make your mind like earth. In other words, whatever came up, you don't react. Just watch. But then you move on, and it's in the moving on that the breath meditation gets more complicated. The next 2 steps, you train yourself. In other words, you set a goal in mind, and you try to live up to the goal. You have to have a mature attitude toward goals. This is one of our problems as Westerners. We're taught to expect that everything is going to be instant. We want it right now, and sometimes we want it before right now. And if we don't like something, we start getting upset. We either turn on things or we turn on ourselves. And John Cha noticed this when he was teaching Westerners, that they needed to learn a lot of patience and a lot of equanimity. So you can observe things. Because if you don't have the patience to sit with something, you're never going to understand it. And if you don't understand it, how are you going to treat it skillfully? But assuming that you are ready to watch the breath and then play with the breath, because that's what the next 2 steps are. You're basically playing with the breath. Then you find you learn a lot more about the meditation, and it moves on from just observing to creating a path. As the Buddha said, the path to the end of suffering is something you put together. The word he uses, sankhara, can also mean fabrication, construction. You put these things together. It requires effort. It requires all the factors of the path. So in that 3rd step, you tell yourself, I'll breathe in, aware of the whole body. Notice that talking to yourself, the Buddha calls that verbal fabrication. And you're going to be aware of the whole body as you breathe in, the whole body as you breathe out. This is where John Lee's instructions on dealing with different energies in the body are helpful. Because in the 4th step, you're going to try to calm the effect of the breath on the body. So you want to be really sensitive to how the energies move in the body as you breathe in, as you breathe out. He has you start with the breath coming in the back of the neck, going down the spine. But you can ask yourself, if you visualize that, does it help? Does it make it easier to settle down? If that kind of visualization doesn't help, you can try others. Think of the breath coming in different spots in the body, in the middle of the forehead, the top of the head. If there's a place where there's a pain in your body, you can try having the breath coming in right there and going right through it. Or if that makes the pain worse, you can move to the other side. In other words, if there's a pain in your left hip, focus on your right. Think of the breath energy flowing smoothly there. This helps you get aware of the whole body. Sometimes, instead of working with the individual parts, you just think whole body and try to be fully aware of the whole body. Notice that what that does to your sense of what's a comfortable way of breathing. Because sometimes a way of breathing that feels comfortable when you're focused on one spot doesn't feel so comfortable when you are aware of the whole body. You think of the breathing as a whole body process. So there are lots of different ways of approaching this. You can work through the body section by section, or start from the whole body and then move in from there to focus on specific problems. But ideally what you want is to be able to be aware of the whole body all the way through the in-breath, all the way through the out. You have a sense that the breathing is all around you. You're not ensconced someplace up in your head, looking down at the body, looking down at the breath of the body. You're in the whole body, all the way down to the tips of your toes. And you're feeling the breathing move around you. This is a really useful step, because once you're fully aware of the whole body, it's a lot harder to go slipping off into the past and the future. If your awareness is one little spot, that little spot can move around pretty fast and go lots of different places. But if you're thinking whole body, all the way in, all the way out, it's almost as if your awareness is too big to move into the past or the future. Because what happens? What is a past or future thought? It's basically you lose the context of the body and you create another world. But as long as you keep reinforcing it, whole body, whole body, whole body, it's very hard to slip into those other worlds. As you become more aware of the breathing energies in the different parts of the body, that moves you into the fourth step, which is to calm bodily fabrication. That can mean two things. One, you simply calm the rate of your breathing. And two, you calm the effect that the breathing has on your sensation of the body. And here, if you're aware of the different energies flowing through the body, if you can think of them all connecting, you'll find that the need to breathe in and out gets weaker and weaker. You're not starving the body of breath energy, you're simply allowing everything to open up so things flow smoothly in all directions. The sense of the breathing throughout the body feels coordinated. And if there's a lack of energy in one part of the body, the breath will move from another part into that part where there's a lack very quickly, without you having to expend a lot of energy on breathing in and pulling the breath, or exaggerating the breath. As long as the mind is very still, you're using very little oxygen. It's not that you're stifling the breath. If you find that you're stifling the breath, stop. Go ahead, let the body breathe as much as it wants. But when things are really connected and the mind is very still, it'll naturally calm down on its own without you having to force it to calm down. And as the texts say, what you get eventually is to a spot where you don't feel like you're breathing in and out at all. And if you can be very still and stay there, you've learned how to fabricate a skillful state of mind. Standard, still, all around. Then the next step is to learn how to maintain that. This is how the breathing moves into, from just mindfulness of breathing into concentration based on the breathing. Actually, it's concentration at the very beginning. The Buddha doesn't make any clear distinction between concentration and mindfulness practice. After all, mindfulness has the role of remembering to do what's skillful and to abandon what's unskillful. And if something unskillful comes up, you're mindful to bring it to an end. Something skillful has not come up, you make it come into being, and then you try to maintain it. These are the duties of mindfulness. These duties often get sloughed over in the more popular descriptions of mindfulness, but they're there. The Buddha teaches them as the duties of mindfulness when mindfulness is really in charge. This is what it does. Tries to develop skillful qualities. In other words, it doesn't just watch things arise and pass away. There are certain things that it wants to make arise and wants to prevent from passing away, and other things it wants to prevent from arising and make hurry up to pass away quickly. In other words, unskillful things, you want them to pass away as quickly as possible. This is how mindfulness blends into concentration. Because the concentration the Buddha describes is a whole body awareness with a sense of well-being that fills the body. In creating this and then maintaining it, you learn a lot about the mind's habits of fabrication because you're engaged in what the Buddha calls all three forms of fabrication. There's physical fabrication, which is the effect of the breath on the body, verbal fabrication, what you talk to yourself about, and then mental fabrication, that the feelings you create through the breathing, through your attention to the breathing, and the perceptions you hold in mind to be aware of the breathing as a whole body process. They're all right here. We take these fabrications, which we normally do out of ignorance and cause us to experience stress and suffering, and now we're doing them skillfully. We're turning them into the path. If you think of the word aggregates as being kind of like the gravel they use to make a road, it's the difference is between putting all the gravel into a big bag on your shoulders and carrying it around, and actually putting it down on the ground so you can walk on it. We're learning to do these fabrications with awareness, with knowledge. At the same time, we could put the mind in a position where it can see other things going on. Because one of the basic prerequisites of this skill is when something comes up that's not related to the breath, you just let it go. No matter how fascinating or insistent or whatever it may be, just say, this is not the time. And you learn how to react as little to those things as possible as you let them go, so it doesn't disturb the concentration. But you do let them go, and you do hang on to the concentration. Because when the mind is in this state, centered but broad, you see things going on that you didn't see before. And you can see through them, in the sense of seeing that where you used to get hooked by things, the hook is not that interesting anymore. The pleasure that comes from having this sense of centered but broad awareness gives you the food you need right now, so you're not hungry for nibbling on whatever comes by. This allows you to step back from a lot of the processes going on in the mind that otherwise would pull you around. So even though the state of mind we're talking about here is just a concentration state, there is some discernment involved in getting here. You learn things about the mind and by training it. In the same way that you learn about horses by training them. Or you learn about different foods. You learn about eggs. How do you learn about eggs? You just sit and watch the egg? No, you put it in a pan, you put it in a saucepan, you put it in a frying pan. You try to make a souffle, you try to make an omelet, you're trying to make meringues. All kinds of things you can do with eggs. And the more things you can do with eggs, the more skills you develop around eggs, the more you understand eggs. It's the same with the mind. The more skill you develop in getting the mind to settle down and cutting through the issues that prevent it from settling down, the more you're going to know your mind. And particularly, the more you're going to know about how to train the mind not to create suffering for itself. So you can think of this as your souffle. Make it light and expansive and good all the way through.